When's the last time you've listened to Diver Down?
Probably last month.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, on YouTube.
Actually, oh, that's where I was listening to it too, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is actually a really good album.
Yeah, like the early Dave stuff was really good, so.
Well, so I guess that's what I kind of want to talk about. I haven't listened to Van Halen in years.
Really?
I don't listen to Van Halen anymore. I guess I kind of get jaded by that concert you and I saw.
Really?
The reunion concert.
Like the last concert when they were here?
Yeah, with Kool and the Gang.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really put me off, and all this infighting over the years between the Van Hagar and the Van Halen and Eddie and Sammy and Michael Anthony, like all this stuff. I
Right.
actually kind of got sucked in, and like I didn't want to listen to it anymore because it just left a bad taste in my mouth. So
You get into the politics, it's not
exactly.
the music.
Exactly, which is what it's not supposed to be about, right?
Right.
So anyway, so I was watching Netflix, and there was a preview for some new Ben Stiller or Dustin Hoffman comedy thing, and the song that was playing was "Where Have All the Good Times Gone?"
Right.
Can you still hear me? Okay.
Yep.
Okay, I'm just covering the wind.
Oh.
So anyway, but it was the original version, which I didn't realize that there was an original version. I just assumed it was Van Halen tune.
Oh,
So I'm
okay.
like,
Yeah.
so anyway, so I'm in the kitchen.
There's a couple of them.
Oh yeah, they did a lot of covers. So I'm in the kitchen, I'm making dinner, and I'm singing the song,
Right.
and I'm kind of going along, and so Sylvia walks into the room and says, "What the hell are you singing? Is that something you guys wrote?" And I'm like, no. What? Okay, what were the words? And she got all hung up on the words of that song, and the line of the song she got hung up on was, "Daddy doesn't need no little toys, and Mommy doesn't need no little boys." And she's like, "What is that about? That's not appropriate." And I'm like, "I guess not." But
Yeah.
I know all the words to every single Van Halen song. I've got
Right.
them, etched in my memory. And I never even knew what the words were, because I just learned all the songs phonetically, right?
Right.
I never paid attention to what I was singing. Who cares? It was all about the melody of the vocal, not the words for me.
Well, it's like when I listen to music, I don't hear the lyrics.
Hear the
I just
melody.
hear the music, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the vocal, not the
What's the
lyric.
song about? I have no idea.
So, I mean, I've, like, like, I used to steal your, as we mentioned before, I used to steal your Van Halen cassettes all the time and
Right.
just sing at the top of my lungs in the room. I had no idea what I was singing. I was just phonetically learning them all.
Right.
Anyway, I'm like, that's a good, like, despite that lyric or whatever, I'm like, oh yeah, that's like the lead-in track to Diver Down, right? And I'm like, oh yeah, Diver Down. I think that used to be my favorite Van Halen what disc. So then I went on YouTube, and there's, obviously lots of, oh, listen to the full album here. And I put it
Yeah.
on. First song comes on, like that song, and then
Right.
Hang 'Em High. And I'm like, holy shit, this is a good album. I totally forgot. But then I was just listening to it on YouTube, so it wasn't high quality. So then I went and grabbed, like, I've paid for Diver Down a number of times in different formats. So I found my MP3 versions. I actually paid for it like three times. So if I illegally download Diver Down again, well, too
Right.
bad. They got my money three times. Two cassettes, a CD.
Well, don't they keep track of what your purchases are if you lose
No. So anyway, so I went, I'm
them?
like, well, I need
Okay.
a good quality version of this to listen to. And so that's what I was listening to. I had it in my headphones. I was cleaning the kitchen, just had it in my headphones so I could actually hear it properly.
Right.
And the production value was really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Well, you know what? When you're away from it for a while, you go like Van Halen, yeah, okay. And then when you listen to it again, it's like, yeah, now I remember. You know why that is? Like why it makes your blood pump and you know, gets your heart racing.
So what I wanted to say was how it within the was it five? Like one, two. Is it five Van Halen, not Van Hagar, but five Van Halen albums? Where would you rank Fair Warning? Or Diver Down, I mean.
Number one and two are number one and two.
Okay.
And they're there for a reason, in my books anyway. The third one... I think Women and Children First.
Oh, yeah.
Now, are we counting 1984?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so 1984 and then Diver Down.
So Diver Down's your last. Oh, no, wait. Where does Fair Warning fall?
Just one above that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Fair Warning is probably your least favorite, fair to say, then? Wait.
Not so much the least favorites because there's a lot of covers on there that they just basically did.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, was Dancing in the Streets on that one or was that
on Diver Down? Yeah, it was on Diver Down.
And then Pretty Woman.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is okay.
Yeah,
but I mean, I don't know. Yeah, but it's. I don't know. I kind of go back to the Roy Orbison version and go, the Roy Orbison version is actually really good. I mean, it doesn't have the same rock punch, but...
Right.
It's the original, right?
Right. Well, it's got its own flair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, So, the Van Halen albums, like, haven't soured for you?
Soured?
Yeah.
No. If anything, I always go back to the beginning. The Hagar years. I mean, don't get me wrong, they're great. But for my ears, Dave is just. It's almost like, you know, that sweet note that just does that whole, you know, thing justice. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, because, like, the reason I had gone away, because I think it's safe to say, well, I don't know, what was the biggest letdown when we saw them live? Was it Dave's voice, or was it Eddie's tone?
Oh, Eddie's tone was there. It was loud. He played loud and proud. Dave, I mean, I don't know, it's like half the words he wasn't singing.
Yes.
And then every once in a while he'd throw a kick up with
okay,
with all those.
Apparently we're crossing the street because Luna absolutely has to cross the street right oh. now. Right now. There's
right
a
now.
Bunny over there.
Oh.
I guess.
Oh, okay. Going to say hi.
Oh, I guess so. There's probably less wind over here too. Yeah, with that concert, for me, the first thing out of the gates was actually not Dave's vocal. I was actually kind of expecting Dave's vocal to not be great, so I think I was already semi-prepared for it, because I watched a tons of YouTube bootleg videos and whatever.
Right.
But I felt that I couldn't hear Wolfie on bass. Like, it didn't stand out, it didn't cut through. That's my recollection. I could be wrong, but...
I mean, I don't know how they pump music through. But I'm sure if we would have been on Wolfie's side, maybe that side would have maybe.
Been yeah, louder. You know what? Maybe you're right.
Because Eddie's side was like super.
Yeah,
loud.
Super loud.
Yeah.
I felt him and Alex were a little sloppier. It was a little looser, but a little sloppy, and I mean, maybe you know, maybe it's just my recollection, but I felt like the timing was not great. Like, that Alex and Eddie weren't totally, totally in sync at that show.
Really?
That was my recollection, but... I don't know, like... Because the only time we saw Van Halen before... mm-hmm. was the For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge tour, I believe.
Yep.
And tonally, timing wise, the only thing I really remember was how tight it was. And this didn't feel tight. It almost felt like there needed to be like another guitar in there to backfill, or maybe because we couldn't hear Wolfie's side. But I don't know. Yeah. It just felt like it was a couple of guys jamming, like improvising a little bit. Like some of the songs, I couldn't even recognize what they were. But maybe really? It's because it was too loud. I don't know. But anyway, so based on that, I kind of forgot that Van Halen were tight. So I'm listening to these albums. So I listened to Diver Down.
Right.
Because I just wanted to hear that Where Have All the Good Times Gone song.
Right.
And I forgot Hang 'Em High on that album. I love. And Secrets and Little Guitars.
Right.
Those are the standouts for me, by far, on that album. Do you remember Secrets?
You know what? That's where the names of the songs, unless I hear it.
That's the one where Dave's singing, actually. It's Dave's singing really soft on that one. And the chorus is, oh, 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 she get crazy. Woman get crazy. Yes, she can go. Or something like that.
Yeah.
It's got boom, boom, da, 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 da. Do, do, do. Like it had that. Right. That song is so solid, so well recorded. I totally forget about that one all the time. I'm like, holy shit, this is a good tune.
Yeah, well, when you listen to all of them all the time, they're all your kind of your favorites after a while.
Yeah. So anyway, I was like, okay, this is really good. I admit, because there's so many covers. Maybe you shouldn't call it their best album. Because there's like, oh, it's like half a Van Halen album, right? And Dancing in the Streets is like, oh, I don't know. It's not that great a song in the first place, in my opinion. It's just really repetitive.
It's kind of one of those, here's our version of a pop song, Van Halen style.
Yeah, and he's doing that I don't know, what do you call it, delay? Is it or whatever? Yeah. And it's like, it's cool, and it's really neat, but you don't need 3 minutes of that. And then the same with the drum beat. Now, I'll admit, I've ripped off the drum beat in that song many, many times.
Right.
Because I remember when I was playing drums, when I started playing drums, I think that was one of the first songs I tried to learn. It's one of those songs where he rides the hi-hat, right? And I didn't know how to ride a hi-hat, so I learned from that song.
Oh.
Yeah. And that and that style is on just about every single Bullet Boys song. But anyway, the drums are really good, but it's the same thing for 3 minutes and the same guitar for 3 minutes.
Right.
But the one thing that stood out for me was how solid the bass playing was. Because Michael Anthony is the guy who gets the least amount of credit all the time.
Right.
And I it's a shame that he's overshadowed, but he's really solid. He holds that groove down.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure he's a pretty solid guy. Like, he doesn't, you don't see him in the limelight very often. So.
No.
He's not one of those media hogs, or whatever you want to call him. That was more for Dave and Eddie. So.
Well, even Alex, really. Like, his drum solos were, like, insane.
Oh, yeah, his were great, too, yeah.
But drum tone in the recording. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Do you remember the drum tone?
Oh, yeah. You
could hear every single drum he played on. You'll lose some of the toms, like in the recording, or whatever.
Yeah, it sounds like a hot rod that, you know, the start finish line, and just they're just rumbling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now that I wasn't a drummer back then when I first listened to that stuff, but now it's like, oh, that's what you're doing there. Oh, that's what you're doing here. So listening to it now with New Year's is really good. So then I proceeded to listen to 1984.
Right.
because there's I can't remember what tune it was, but Alex said, "Oh, if we're going to cover a Van Halen tune, we should cover this one." And it was, I think it was Top Jimmy or House of Pain or something, like this last track on the album or something. It's like on side two. There's like, this is Drop Dead Legs, and there's the one right after that one. Anyway.
Good question.
But, you know, everyone always, you know, 1984, it's always about Jump, Panama, and then Hot for Teacher, right? The singles.
Right.
But there wasn't, in my opinion, there wasn't a weak song on that album. Like, do you have a song on 1984 you don't like?
No, I quite like them all, actually. And I think, actually, that was the very first Van Halen tape that I think I got that for Christmas. And then it was like, whoa, who the hell are these guys? And then that's when I looked back at the other albums that they had to see what, you know, see what their music was.
Yeah, it was really good. So I like, but I'm like the, I don't know, you call it the B-sides off that album or whatever, the ones that weren't singles. There isn't a weak song in that batch at all. Like, they could have easily released a few more singles off that album, in my opinion.
Yeah, they could have. But they had their strong ones.
Well, the most commercially viable ones, right?
Yeah, but I mean, after you've listened to them so many times, you know, then you start going, well, you know, what else you got?
Yeah.
You know, type thing, and then bringing that out, and, oh, well, this is fresh. It's, you know, the same type of music, so.
Yeah. Like, that I'll Wait song was almost a single, and I think it kind of was a single, but they never did a video or anything.
Okay.
And I used to sing that song all the time with Jason Chapman. Because it was a piano song, right? And he had the tablature for it?
Yeah, that's right. They didn't have a video for that one.
But that song got played on the radio. Not as much as, you know, the other ones, but... Okay, Luna, I guess we're going back this way. Come on, sweetie.
What's that?
I don't know. She wants to go back home.
Oh.
Or there's no bunnies this way, potentially.
Oh.
But anyway, I guess what I'm saying is... I think I might be on the Van Halen bandwagon for the next few weeks anyway.
Oh, great.
So I did Diver Down. I figured I'd you know, go with the next album, which was 1984.
Mm-hmm.
And then work my way back. Now, I like, for me, the my two favorites were Van Halen 1 and 2, of course.
Right.
But then, you know, listening to them to death, and they're everyone's favorite Van Halen albums, generally.
Mm-hmm.
That I started to, you know, go to the other ones, right? And I really fell in love with Women and Children First and Fair Warning.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they're, like, Fair Warning was so different. Like,
yeah.
So different.
It's kind of darker.
Yeah.
A little darker.
But I kind of liked it for that because it was different.
Oh, wait. There was Women and Children First. Sorry. And that one, so yeah. Children First is one of them.
I think that came, like, that was their third album or something, I think. And then I think it was Fair Warning.
Yeah,
I think.
Something like that.
But Fair Warning was the introduction of the keyboard into Van Halen.
Right.
And that's when the band was really fighting. And Eddie was trying to prove himself on that one.
Right. They said, didn't you say that no one wants to... listen to him play keyboard. They just wanted him listening to him playing guitar.
But yeah, that's exactly. But that was the album he kind of shoved it. You know, I read a lot of Van Halen biographies, but that I think that's the period they were kind of fighting and Eddie finally got his way because Dave really drove the boat. Like in the early days, Eddie was just drunk and easygoing and kind of just did whatever, you know. Like, Dave was very, had a lot of leadership.
Wasn't his dad a lawyer?
His dad was a dentist, I think.
Oh, a dentist?
I think so.
Why did I think he was a lawyer?
Well, he had money. Because they used, like, I think a lot of the financing they got in the original days was, you know, thanks to him. I think they jammed at Dave's place, and
right.
Dave got made sure they had PAs and, you know, things like that.
Right.
So, but anyway, yeah, so do you agree with that I should be going back and forgetting all the dirt that's been thrown out there and actually going back and listening to those albums again?
Oh, yes, for sure, for sure. Yes, because, I mean, I, like I said, like, I was it last week, I had it on into my loop.
Yeah.
My YouTube loop.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then when you listen to it, you just, geez, just the tone.
Itself, the tone, just, yes.
It's just that raw tone. It just sounds like a, I don't know, the only way I can explain it is if you go under a light and you can hear that transformer humming.
Yes, yes.
It's like your amp is just humming, just ready to explode.
Yeah, right on the verge.
Just right in the edge, yeah. That's the tone. That's what everybody looks for.
That's the perfect description. I've never been able to put it into words before, but that makes total sense. Now, the tone between then and later.
Right.
Like, the tone, like, I've seen them play, the tone when we saw them was not the tone, oh, Luna, the tone.
Well, wait a minute now, Ted Templeton.
Yeah.
When did he leave?
He left.
I guess he was part of the sound.
He left with Dave. He left with Dave and he went and did Dave's albums.
Right. Okay, so when you're saying that when the tone changed, are you talking like within the Dave era?
Yeah, no, the tone, I felt the tone was consistent in the Dave era from what I recall. But the tone from then to Van Hagar was completely different.
Oh, yeah.
I found. But yeah. I think on the 5150 album,
mm-hmm.
I think, I don't know, like it sounded a little thin. Does that make sense?
Well, the 5150 studio was actually, I think that was in Ed's studio.
I believe so, yeah.
Now, whether or not he's the one who mixed it, or, you know, but I mean, it was an excellent album.
Oh, the like songwriting-wise, it was tits up. It was so amazing.
Yeah, like, you know, like, well, are they going to survive? Are they going to kind of, you know, peter out, sound like some other bands?
Yeah, and then that album comes out, and you're like, holy shit. Lightning in the Bottle again.
Yeah.
But I just read, like, I just finished the Sammy Hagar biography a few months ago. And after reading that, and then the sequence of albums with Van Hagar made a lot of sense. Like, there was a slow degradation in Van Hagar, like, right after that first album.
Really?
Yeah. With like, the integrity of the band. And it just, like, further albums in, it sounded like it took everything just to get an album together. And the first album, they could have, it's like they recorded it in, like, a month or whatever. Like, they did all the writing.
And you, like, with Sharon and...
Oh, no, well, pre-Sharon, but, like, I don't know, like, OU812, and then For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge, like, there was a slow... Like, Ed's alcoholism got worse and worse and worse and worse.
Right.
As the years went on. And Sammy was like, well, you know, it's still Ed and Alex. But there was a lot of, it wasn't as public, but there was a slow spiral going on there.
Right.
And then by the last album they did, which was, I can't remember what it was called.
Balance?
Was it Balance? Yeah, Balance was the last one they did, right? Yeah, that one was, but they were having trouble being in the same room together.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, because, yeah, Ed and Sammy stopped getting along by that point. Like, they were not getting along at all.
I didn't think that they, you know, I thought they got along, well... They got along great, and then I think Eddie fell off the wagon again, I guess.
Well,
something happened.
Yeah, and Alex fell off the wagon. Big time. Big time. Oh, yeah. And then he broke his neck in some stupid accident, like a drunken accident.
Right.
I don't know if you remember, he was playing, like, he was out playing shows with a neck brace on.
I remember seeing that.
But anyway. But anyway, I guess that's all I wanted to talk about.
Oh.
The greatness of those first five Van Halen albums, they still hold true.
Yeah, I mean, you go to every single one of them, and you won't be disappointed. Because, like you said, like you reheard the other ones, and you get that same vibe, so you'll definitely get the same thing with the other stuff.
So I think I'm going to work my way back. So I'll listen to Fair Warning, like I'm going to do a good thorough listen of 84, and right. then go Fair Warning, and then go to Women and Children First, which was my favorite one for a long time. I can't remember why, though. I don't even remember what's on there. I just remember thinking it was awesome.
Right.
Because I guess Van Halen 1, I've heard those songs so many times. Like, every single song, like, on the radio, pretty much, so.
Yeah, that, and we used to play them, too, so.
Yeah, yeah. Almost every single one, if not every single one. But anyway, yeah. So, I think another topic I'd like to cover down the road is mm-hmm. my same fallout with Van Halen. I have the same fallout with Kiss right now, too.
Okay.
And you know Kiss was my favorite band for forever.
Right.
And then when the whole reunion thing happened, and then fell apart, and all that, and all the infighting, and blah, 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 back and forth, and yeah. I totally stopped listening to Kiss, like, completely. Like, I took the CDs off my hard drive.
We got into the politics, yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm too sensitive.
Well, I mean, with all these reality shows, and then, you know, Gene had his own show.
Yeah, that really turned me off.
So, I mean, he could very well, you know, air whatever laundry he had to everybody. He had the power to do it.
But I guess, the biggest turnoff for me was when Paul Stanley put his book out. And just proceeded to slam everyone and everything, even including Gene.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was turning me off. So I just, after, like, specifically around that time, oh, come on, Luna. I just stopped listening to Kiss and just continued just listening to Ace Frehley exclusively, nothing else.
Wow.
I dug out all his solo albums. And the Ace Frehley solo albums are really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of cases, stronger than the most recent Kiss ones, for sure.
I seem to recall his playing was quite a little more articulate, I think.
Well, it's super articulate now.
Yeah.
Like he's. I think a lot of the animosity with him, against him, was even though he'd come, you know, he'd be drunk and coked out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Plugs in the guitar.
Right.
And he sounds amazing. No effort. No practicing. Or very little practicing. Just plugs in and goes.
Natural.
Yeah, he's a natural, right? And I think with Gene and Paul, like, they always had to work at it. Like, they really always had to work at getting really good. And even, like, just musically speaking, like, you know, no one ever talks about, like, Gene and Paul, like you would, like, Jimmy Page and John Paul Jones or, you know, Paul McCartney or something. Like, they don't talk about their playing.
Right.
But Ace, you always do.
Hmm.
But anyway.
Hmm.
So, maybe, as an assignment.
Okay.
Because I know you like assignments.
Oh, I did my time.
maybe we can pick a Kiss album to both listen to, and maybe we can, I can forget all the politics of it all and go, oh yeah, this was a really good album.
Okay, you want to pick one now?
Yeah. So we should go classic lineup, right?
So like what, like Dynasty?
Well, pre-Dynasty, I think, because Dynasty was Dynasty didn't even have all four of them playing on the album anymore at that point.
Okay.
Because they kept replacing... Bruce Kulick's brother used to come in and contribute guitar all the time because Ace wasn't around, or... They brought in guys like Alice Cooper's guitar players came in and filled in all the time, and the only Ace Frehley songs like towards the latter end were Ace's songs that he wrote and that was it.
Wow.
And Ace only usually wrote by himself, which is interesting. But anyway, so like somewhere within the first six albums, I would say, excluding Alive, because I think that's too obvious. But maybe, let's see.
There's one called Firehouse?
Yeah.
Is that just the song?
Well, Hotter Than Hell was the second album. It had Firehouse on it.
Oh, okay.
So do you want to go, like, the first three albums with the low production value? Or the ones released after Alive came out?
The ones after Alive came out.
Okay, so that would be... Rock and Roll Over, Love Gun, or Destroyer? I think we should do... maybe Love Gun.
Okay.
Rock and Roll Over was recorded live. It's not a live record, but they didn't, like, play one track at a time. It was recorded live, and they just did overdubs.
Right. And this is all the original members.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
The last album they all played together on was Rock and Roll Over. After that, they were all still in the band, but they kept bringing in guest people all the time.
This is kind of at their peak.
Yes.
Almost.
Yeah, and Peter Criss kept saying, oh, I'm going to quit this week, and wouldn't. And he would quit, and he'd be back 2 days later.
Oh, okay.
They even had one of their drum techs dress up as Peter Criss and never said anything.
Right.
Because Peter Criss just no-showed or something, and some guy filled in. And they never said anything. Because no one knew who they really were at back then, right?
Pretty bad when your band has to have a fill-in for you.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's go Love Gun, I think, is probably the best one. So you should be able to find that on YouTube somewhere. And if you don't, I can Dropbox it to you.
I should be able to find it.
And I don't mind giving you copies of the MP3s because I've bought every single Kiss album minimum three times.
Right.
Okay. You know, in each format, some even in additional formats, including the vinyl.
The vinyl?
Yeah, I had a few vinyl.
But we had, because I think...
Well, I had Alive on vinyl.
Right.
I had Dynasty on vinyl.
Because we used to swap with Randy, too, didn't we?
Yep.
Because he had the Alive album.
He had Alive 2.
Right.
He had Alive 1, but eventually I bought my own Alive album.
Right.
And then I think I had just... We somehow get Destroyer in our possession at some point, which is my least favorite Kiss album amongst them all.
Oh.
It's okay, it's just so overproduced, and I don't know. It was less rock and roll.
The excitement's gone.
Well, it was the album.
Going to the studio just to make albums?
Well, it was the album they did right after Alive, so they went and hired the most expensive producer, brought songwriters in, and really the producer of the album, it was his album. It was, I don't know, to me it doesn't feel so much as a Kiss album as the guy who produced it, who's the Alice Cooper, the guy behind Alice Cooper, really. Like, he did most of Alice Cooper's albums.
Really?
Yeah. Bob Ezrin.
Well, is that a reflection of his work, or?
Well, he collaborated very closely with Alice.
Right.
Like, in the writing, the production, the you know, what you do in a studio. Well, let's add bells here or whistles.
For Destroyer.
Yeah, so that's who did Destroyer.
Right, which was your least favorite.
Yep. And then he's also the guy that did The Elder with Kiss. Considered by, it was the first Kiss album to not go platinum.
Oh, so straight two.
Yep. But then my favorite Kiss album of all time, which is non-makeup, he did that one. Which was Revenge, which had Domino. You've heard Domino.
Oh, yeah, many times.
Yeah, so that's that album. That album was super good, front to back.
Right.
Except for one song. Like, it's basically almost a perfect album, except for one song.
Oh.
Which was one of their singles.
Really?
Yeah. It's a ballad with a whole orchestra and shit. And it is so blatant. It's so...
the best song?
Yeah, that's exactly what they're shooting for.
Just another ballad?
Yep. All right. You know what? I made it home.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to let you go.
Alrighty.
All right.
Okay, no. All right. Well, we shall see you tomorrow then.
Yes, we'll see you tomorrow.
All right then.
Okay. All right.
See ya.
Bye.
Okay. Okay. Bye.